A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
The Opinion Line on Cork's 96 FM.
Shanti, good morning.
Good morning, Fiona. Thank you for inviting me.
You're very welcome and thanks for coming on the show this morning. Shanti, just tell me a little bit about why the Cork Menopause Support Group was set up.
Well, first of all, I have to say that the group was set up by a mistake because I was part of a larger national group called the Irish Menopause, run by Sally Ann Brady. And she's the lady who got that big conversation started in May with a different radio station in the country. So the plan was for coffee groups to form one for each county. But I had mistaken that to be a Facebook group. So I set up a Facebook group with two other ladies, with Subha Priya and Valerie Omani. And so we decided to just keep it because a lot of people had an interest in joining.
Have you had many people join the group?
Well, we started last month and we have about 400 women who have joined. So
Fantastic.
It is very popular. Yes.
And what kind of questions do people ask? Like what kind of support are they looking for?
Well, mostly people are talking about symptoms and then wondering, is this perimenopause or is this menopause? Because there is a huge gap in knowledge that we women of this age have. We just don't really know when or what is menopause, because all throughout the years we've been told, you know, your periods will stop and you will get some hot flushes and that will be it. And, you know, it's not as simple as that.
And what kind of age would people start getting that perimenopause at?
Well, the literature says from 45 right. onwards can be perimenopause, but more and more we see that women are 40-ish and they are already suffering a lot of symptoms that would be considered to be perimenopausal. So I would just have to say that when we talk about menopause, basically what we're saying is that women have stopped their monthly bleeds. And if you are over 50, that would be 12 months with no monthly bleed, so 12 consecutive months. And then if you are younger than 50, you actually have to count 24 consecutive months. So you need to count all the months that you don't have a monthly bleed, and you could come all the way up to month 7 or month 10, and that happens to a lot of women, and then they might get a period, and then they have to start to count all over again. So you only diagnose the menopause retrospectively because you don't know when you've had your last period. So a calendar becomes a really good friend of yours, and you know you really need to track your periods so that you know when you have actually reached menopause. And then that day that you realize that you haven't had a bleed for 12 months or 24 months, that is when you are in menopause. Then that's when postmenopause begins. So you're never really in menopause for years and years and years. It's just a time that it is diagnosed. And then for the rest of your life, you are postmenopausal. So it's not like you're going through it or, you know, you've had it and now you've gone past it and it's in your past or anything. Just for the rest of a woman's life, once she has stopped the bleed, she becomes postmenopausal. And that doesn't mean that, oh, everything is fine now and she doesn't have any more periods and she can't have babies, but you know, there's loads of things that happen. So there are so many different symptoms, and you could just look at each symptom by itself and then think, well, sure, that doesn't sound bad. I could live with that, or, you know, I've already had that my entire life, like a thinning hair or hair growing in funny places. Women also talk about insomnia or fatigue. You know, obviously there is the hot flushes. Everybody talks about the hot flushes, but then there are so many other symptoms that, you know, you just don't want to talk to other people about that over, you know, a cup of coffee when you're meeting your coffee group, or your yoga group, or your walking group. You're not going to start talking mid-walk or mid-biscuit in your mouth about something as serious as vaginal atrophy or a change in libido or the fact that you have memory issues and you're feeling that maybe you have early onset of dementia, because that happens a lot as well. And women become really frightened, thinking that there is all sorts wrong with them. I have spoken to women who thought that they were suffering from Alzheimer's. Other women thought that they were dying, that they were slowly dying. There was so much wrong with them. And if you don't know what's wrong with you, and you do go to your healthcare provider, and sometimes they don't know because there is a huge lack of training. It is coming along, though. There are some fantastic GPs around. It's just very difficult not to be heard. And because there is such a lack of knowledge, we just don't have the vocabulary.
Yeah.
So just imagine you're going to a country, suppose, you know, you're Irish and you're going abroad and you're going to Japan, for example. And, you know, something is wrong with you there. You become sick. Maybe you have a UTI or, you know, anything that could happen to anybody, man or woman, doesn't really make a difference. And you do go to the hospital and they don't speak English. How do you tell them what's wrong with you?
So, and Shanti, I suppose, I know you were talking there earlier about the perimenopause starting in women in their 40s, but I see there that the Mayo Clinic is actually saying that it can start in the 30s. So for a woman who's in her 30s and is going through the perimenopause, I suppose because we have this idea, I think, that you know, the menopause is something that affects women who are of a lot older age. So if somebody in their 30s is beginning to experience these symptoms, as you say, it must be a very frightening experience because they're not expecting the word menopause to come into that.
Exactly. There are also very young women who suffer from it's called POI, premature ovarian insufficiency. So it's basically the ovaries running out of eggs. Now, that needs to be diagnosed by a specialist. That's not something a friend can diagnose you with over a cup of coffee. Women also go into menopause if they take particular medications. So certain cancer treatments can put you into menopause. Other women go into surgically induced menopause if they have their ovaries removed. And sometimes they get their uterus moved and the ovaries are left behind, but then they still feel a huge change and they start to experience some symptoms of the menopause or the perimenopause.
Indeed, even there a couple of weeks ago, I was speaking to a young girl from Cork who had endometriosis and had to have her womb removed and went through the menopause, and she was in her late 20s, I think, early 20s. And, you know, that's a huge, you know, transition for somebody of that age to have to go through.
Yeah, it's very frightening. And we just don't know a whole lot about it, to be honest. We know how we feel, and that's about it. And if you are in your 20s or your 30s, who are you going to talk to about this? You know, if your friends aren't going through it, and even a woman who's in her 40s and 50s might not know the exact signs and symptoms of a menopause. So if you start talking about something as simple as, and it's not simple at all, but if you were to mention a hot flush, you know, and you're 35 years old and you're thinking you're having a hot flush, your friends could just turn around and say, don't be silly. And, you know, you're just dismissed and not taken seriously. And that is hurtful when you are suffering from something that is so debilitating, because a hot flush is not just a hot flush. You know, it is a very serious symptom. You look at the culture and, you know, how we joke about the menopause, and even in television programs, how jokes are made about periods and hot flushes. It's no joke. And it doesn't just affect the woman who is experiencing it. It affects her husband. It affects her children. It affects her, you know, her sisters, if she has sisters, or her siblings. It affects everybody. So women going through the menopause is not just a female issue. This affects society. There are so many women of menopausal and perimenopausal age who are in the workforce. Surely that's going to affect what's happening in the workforce.
And is there a diagnosis for perimenopause? Because, you know, I know you were talking there earlier about the GPs and stuff, and, you know, is it something that we're just coming around to now? A lot, like, you know, I suppose if somebody is in their 50s or whatever and they go in with all of these symptoms and the doctor can say to them, okay, yeah, definitively, yes, you have menopause. But, like, what about perimenopause then?
Yeah, well, usually women go to the doctor with certain symptoms, and more than likely it is perimenopause, first and foremost. So it is really easy to diagnose somebody with menopause because, you know, they haven't had a bleed for 12 or 24 months, and that's how you diagnose the menopause. But the perimenopause is a lot more difficult to diagnose, and there are guidelines from the UK, and they set out like how to go about diagnosing a woman with perimenopause, and it's done basically by symptoms. So you just listen to the woman and you just listen to what she says, and that is how you diagnose. Sometimes blood tests get done in more complicated cases. Now, I am not a healthcare professional, so I can't tell you exactly what kind of blood test is done and for what, but sometimes women are on the Mirena coil, which is a contraceptive. And that can mask certain symptoms. So, you know, you could be in your early 50s and you could have a Mirena coil, and a lot of women don't have a monthly bleed on the Mirena coil. So how would you know is, you know, you have reached that 12-month period without a bleed? We don't. So this is where you go to somebody who is trained and knows what they're talking about. And hopefully that is your GP.
Have you got any advice for people who are going through this? Like, is there any treatments? I know that HRT is a treatment, but are there any other things that people can do for themselves?
Yeah, so HRT is coming back into vogue, as we say, and that is one thing you can do, but it's not suitable for everybody. So there are other more natural treatments. They don't work for everybody in exactly the same way where, you know, somebody might like a pint and somebody else will go for a different kind of alcoholic drink and say, well, you know, that just doesn't agree with me and I'm going to drink this particular drink. And the same with ice cream flavors. Somebody will love pistachio and the other one will love chocolates. You know, our bodies will react better to certain herbs and other supplements than they will for another person. So it's all very personal. But again, there are nutritionists and herbalists who are trained and can advise a person. And this is the kind of thing that we talk about in the group. So somebody will come along and like, we don't diagnose anybody. We don't say to people, well, we think you need to go on HRT or you need to go and try this particular herb or tincture. That like, we don't do any of that. We're just basically saying, oh gosh, my hair is thin, or, you know, I don't like my whichever body cream, it is making me even more itchy than I already was. And then we just say, well, you know, this worked for me. And then somebody else might come along in the same chat and say, well, that actually didn't work for me at all. So we get a really good discussion of you know, some very simple and lighthearted things. But then there are some heart-wrenching stories about, you know, how women are just not coping. And very often women get prescribed antidepressants, because some antidepressants can actually help with the vasomotor symptoms, which are the hot flushes and the night sweats. But again, the guidelines that I was talking about, the UK guidelines, they say that antidepressants should not be the first port of call when it comes to perimenopausal or menopausal symptoms.
And Shanti, if anybody does want to get in touch with you guys, if they want to share their story and hear other stories, how can they find you?
Well, they can log on to Facebook. At the moment, we are only on Facebook.
Okay.
The group is called Cork Menopause Support, and we're very strict on privacy. So there are rules that everybody in the group needs to stick by, and you only get admitted to the group if you have agreed to the group rules. And also there are another three membership questions that people need to click, and only then will you be allowed into the group, because we can't just allow people in who are not going to obey by the group rules. And one, because it is for women in Cork, you are going to meet somebody from the group in real life.
Yeah.
And so one of the rules we have is, you know, you could read something in the group, excuse me, and this could be your child's teacher. This could be the lady at the till in your local supermarket. And under no circumstances are you allowed to approach this person and say, oh, that thing you were talking about in the group, you know, that's just absolutely not on. You cannot do that. And so this is why it's so important that everybody who wants to be in the group must click all the three membership questions and agree to the group rules.
Brilliant, Shanti. Thanks so much for joining me on The Opinion Line on Cork's 96 FM this morning. For anybody who wants to go on to that group, it's Cork Menopause Support Group.
Cork's 96 FM.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary. Not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.